Hey everybody, welcome back. It's the final episode of the show American Horror Story Apocalypse. Not our show. This is going to be a long one, team. I regret to inform you. This is I don't get to think about Sonic 06, you know, that often in context of modern media, but I'm joined as always by Slow Beef and Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey, what's good? Hey.
Hello.
What's up?
Also in this, the pent ultimate episode, the goon ultimate, I guess, episode of this season, I have been notified that I never introduce myself. I'm Ty Tuesday. That's my bad.
Whoa, is that what your name is?
Yeah, only took like 100 something episodes, but folks, he got there.
That's crazy. Watch
you get like 400 Twitch subs or something with like all these people. Like, we were waiting. We didn't know.
You could never figure it out.
That's who this fucking guy is. Holy shit.
We thought they were saying Ty, like T-Y, like Ty Pennington, the guy who had that show about like tearing down houses or whatever.
Wait, he's not that?
Yeah, you got it.
I've been bamboozled myself. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so we're on the final episode. This is going to be a long one because, boy howdy, do they really, they rushed some pacing here. They realized we have a lot to get into the end of an episode, and like the most stronger writers would probably say, great, then we really need to pick and choose what's important and leave things to mystery that can be fun to leave to mystery. And they went, no, we're going to get as much in there as possible. No one's going to stop us.
Including but not limited to wholesale three of the just like ripped the whole scenes that we've already seen from previous episodes, just making us watch them again. Somehow they have time to make us watch wholesale three separate scenes from like episode like three or whatever. Very cool.
Do you want to know how bad I think this season is? Is that I have a new theory, which involves time travel in real life, which is like, you know the whole thing like, oh, if only Hitler got into that art academy or whatever, right? Which is like, Ryan Murphy is a really awful person who would have been like super Hitler or something, right? But we're in the timeline where some time traveler's like, no, you can make American Horror Story, it's fine. You know, like, it's all good. And that's what, like, spared us from, like, the really bad timeline or something.
Here, you can torture the masses in another way.
Yeah,
Is that how they... Okay. Is that how he keeps getting shows? Because, like, he keeps getting shows. Like, he still has five active shows.
I think so, yeah. Because, absolutely.
It started and they're with all Glee.
It's like they're all the same people. Like, you're going to find out, like, Sarah Paulson is, like, a demon or something that, like, has to be in all of his things, you know?
It's so cool that, like, the natural escalation of your opinion of this show has gone so south that the only way you feel it is, like, fair and equitable is, in your own words, the alternative is he is super Hitler.
Yeah, I think that's the only way it goes, you know? Like, honestly.
I think it is very brave of them to, in this episode, address the baby Hitler conundrum like they did in the last, or they didn't, rather, in the last episode when they were like, save a random Princess Anastasia, do that. That's how we'll test your time travel. Instead, they're like, we're going to confront the baby Hitler complex, but we're going to make it weird and sad and awkward for everybody.
Yeah. It's kind of like, what's the opposite of a muse? Like a creativity vampire bit him or something, but then like editors like can't say no to him. Like that's like the weird curse.
Like,
you know,
they literally can't say no. Like they try, but when they do, their mouth just like won't open. It's part of like the witch's curse.
The monkey's paw, it's like, you'll always be published, but, you know, like, it won't be good.
And all the actors and actresses that work with him have just, like, also made, like, a genie wish deal, but unfortunately, like, their monkey's paw, like, caveat was that they have to be in his shows.
Like, Evan Peters let the genie out for like a century, and it's like, okay, fine, you can be in an X-Men movie. You know what I mean? Like that's like your little day out.
Just one, and it's not canon to the MCU. Just
one. Well, WandaVision, but you know, whatever.
That's true.
Yeah.
Speaking of time travel fuckery.
By the way, this oddly, I'm not a big Marvel person, but this is the second time I've well actually Liz on Marvel like movie things tonight today.
Well,
I'm really sorry.
I could actually the WandaVision thing, but Evan Peters has already suffered enough.
I just like concede ground on Marvel. I'm like, this is like the one time I get to go jock mode and be like, have at it, dorks.
Just... actually, in the sacred timeline of Universe 616, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. No, you got me. Yeah.
Whoa, is that Nerdlinger boy? Well, anyway.
Oh, my God. Fucking speaking of nerds. We start our episode.
Nice transition. Landed.
Yeah, nailed it. Nailed it in one. I know what everybody's thinking. I can't wait for Myrtle to confront Miss Venable. What? I'm being handed a note? You weren't thinking that? Well, why would that be? Could it be that there's literally no feasible way that Myrtle would know who Miss Venable is at this point in time? And there would be no way that Myrtle would show up at Fuckass Incorporated or wherever Jeff Pfister and Mutt Nutter work?
Okay, so we haven't like really elucidated heavily on this, but like the place they live is like a weird glass greenhouse like out in the middle of nowhere on a shore. Like it's not a place you'd like randomly stroll up to. It's like isolate. It's like a Hitman level,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
very intentionally hard to access these fellas. So yeah, you would need like very specific info and recon and everything. And like, I don't know if it's like Bubbles did it beforehand. And
before
like, yeah,
shot.
Why would she know who would she know who Venable is, like,
okay,
at all?
Well, it can't even be Bubbles, because Bubbles got BTFO'd by Meadbot, and they didn't know that Michael had Meadbot until Meadbot showed up and shot everybody. So it's not like they could be like, wow, how did Bubbles figure out where they got Meadbot from? Because by the time they were aware of Meadbot's existence, Bubbles was dead.
Damn, Sylvie, this is why I stood down on the Marvel stuff. She's good.
It took me, I just want to say, this episode's notes took me like 4.5 hours, which I think is a record.
Thank you
because
for your service.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, wow. There's, because like I didn't even remember, I guess because I was so flummoxed by the episode when I watched it airing live that I like didn't even think about this part. But like I said, this is Myrtle walking up to Venable's desk. You might be thinking, did I forget a part where they knew about Jeff and Mutt and Michael and Meadbot, them being the witches? No. They didn't ever even talk about it. And remember, If you will kindly point your attention to our last episode where, actually I guess it was episode before last, whenever it was that Michael showed up and had Meadbot gun down all of the witches, the remaining witches never went downstairs and also don't know about Meadbot. They just know that somebody came into the house, allegedly Michael, and probably someone with a gun, and shot up all the witches. They don't know about Meadbot, because Cordelia was like, we gotta fucking go. We can't go downstairs. We gotta fucking go.
Yeah. They just knew, like, they killed Mead, and then there like, was one later. But yeah.
Yeah.
Is also she really the first person to ever try to take a shot at the witches? You know what I mean? Like,
no, it happens in season 3. In season 3, that one guy tries to shoot the witches all the time. Her husband tries to shoot the witches like on a daily basis. It's kind of his whole deal. It's
right,
like his
like,
whole character.
Meadbot does it, right? Like, I mean, how bad at this was he? I mean,
also,
very, but still.
Not to put the cart before the horse, but we will find out later that, in case you're curious, Cordelia can just blow a robot the fuck up. Which means it's kind of fucked up that Cordelia was like, uh-oh.
Didn't.
Better not go downstairs and help my kids that are getting shot at. Nothing I can do about that. Oh, my God. But
And the kicker too is the only reason we need to have this scene is because they realize there's an information gap where like the witches would have no idea where the bunkers are. But then they realize very rapidly they have fucked it up because they would not know where Jeff and Mutt are either.
Yeah, what is really fucked up about this is that is what they're doing here. You're correct. They're like, oh, we have to explain how the witches would know where to go, like what outpost, etc. Because they don't even know about the existence of an outpost. They don't know about that or like any of that.
Did I imagine this? Didn't they like try to sort of cover it earlier where it was like Coco's like gluten thing? It's like, oh, you can sense where food is, so that's how you can like find like in the apocalypse. Didn't they do that or am I crazy?
Okay, so they had Cordelia say like this is the beginning of your powers, but like I would say if your power is to sense danger, first of all, no, she didn't tell anyone else because no one respects her in that way. And more importantly, perhaps, I would argue Jeff and Mutt and Venable are not the danger. And in fact, the robot that shot them all to death was the danger.
So
and
no.
caught that.
No, but what I'm saying, though, is why did... So we're going to learn they needed Coco, right, for her seat in the bunker or, you know, right? Like ultimately, that it had nothing to do with her being a witch. It's just you happen to be rich. We need your help here.
Yeah,
right. But I thought earlier this season they're like, you know what? We're gonna need you, Coco, because you can sense like food and you'll be able to find the outpost. I don't know if that was a theory we had or the show like briefly brought up.
Because
I've totally forgotten. You know,
I think I briefly said this is how they're going to explain how they find Mead, which is how it is. They're like, oh, Coco, it's not just that you can see gluten, it's that you can sense danger. Cut to next scene. She has somehow found the real Mead and they accosted her. But they don't even manage to do that in this episode because what's about to happen, you're going to be like, oh, okay, maybe it was the Coco thing. Maybe that's like their loophole. And then they're going to have another character go, Coco hasn't done shit or fuck in the last two episodes, so Coco is useless. So I don't think Coco is how they found out about this guy.
And while it is a character known for being harsh and a shit talker, she generally says the truth when she's being a hater.
Yeah. But the other thing is, going back to what Ty said about how this whole scene is a setup for them to be like, oh, well, we're not going to explain how the witches know literally anything about this plan, because there would be no way that they would know anything about this plan, right down to like how many nukes he plans to drop, except for they send Myrtle on this quest to get information from Mutt Nutter and Jeff Pfister, and then the information she ends up getting from them, and only the only information she ends up getting from them, is maybe the only information they probably could have fucking figured out themselves, which is that Michael wants to set up his base that he wants to be at the Warlock School where they first fucking met Michael. Maybe the literal only place they would think to look for Michael Langdon post-apocalypse, and maybe the only information they wouldn't need to explain why the witches know it. truly baffling that they would set this up this way. But now it's time for a bad bitch face-off. I don't know what they wanted out of this. I don't know what they were looking for out of this scene.
I don't know what we were going for.
Am I crazy? Did Venable always have that fuck-ass hair? That fuck-ass Jimmy Neutron hair? Like, was that always like that? I don't remember her having, like, bright orange, like, Jimmy Neutron ponytail. I don't remember that being her, like, look in the first three episodes. I thought she looked fairly, like, standard, like brown hair, like fairly like average lady. I don't remember her looking crazy style. There's a lot of questions about Venable's involvement, because I hate to break it to you, listener, this is the last time we're going to talk to or about Venable. She will get no follow-up from this scene onwards.
Truly the most pointless character in the entire show. Some would like argue she is the red herring that is the reason we farted around for three episodes instead of just like doing Coven 2.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, you know what's weird is like, if she hadn't even shown up in this part, would we have cared? You know what I mean? Like, she didn't need, like, she didn't get a backstory. It's like, also, it feels like also she was like the secretary for these two idiots, you know? But, like, okay, yeah, thanks, I, you know?
That being her backstory makes it more confusing, because, like, when left to my own devices to, like, come up with a backstory for that character based on context clues, the more information that was given up, I was just like, oh, she probably just, like, was a Satanist who worked for, like, the co-op or whatever, and they put her in charge of an outpost or something.
So, the other really cool thing is when Myrtle had... So, the other reason they wanted to have Myrtle do this interaction is, like... They realized Venable's, like, wearing purple for royalty thing was, like, stupid. Especially because, like, she was told directly, like, yeah, you can just do whatever you want. You're the boss. Who gives a shit? No one cares.
And she hid herself.
Like, and then later on, she's like, no, I can't wear purple. If they know, they'll beat me with sticks. And it's like, that's not true. You made that up.
I think one of the funniest yet most consistent parts of American Horror Story is having characters that are such fucking losers that even in their own fantasies or even in circumstances where they have complete control over everything, they can't help but make themselves fucking losers in their own dreams, their own fantasies, their own, like, ultimate power
weird,
situations.
Right? Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, yeah, even in my fantasies, I'm a loser.
He's just having a daydream, then who am I kidding? Like, you know, this would,
like,
never happen.
It's gotta be like a projection thing, I think, on behalf of perhaps the writers, of like, yeah, wouldn't it suck so bad if even when I was, like, winning, I still sucked and was, like, a little weird little teddy baby? Wouldn't that suck?
Maybe that's, like, their little act of rebellion. It's like, I've got this hit show on FX, but it's fucking terrible. You know, like, fuck you, Ryan Murphy, for making me sell out. Like,
we make these shitty characters.
Making a dog shit show to own the libs.
Yeah, true. Oh, my God. But I really think they wanted this to be like a oh, the meeting of the minds. People wanted this. Checking notes. Nobody wanted this. And Venable, like... Myrtle storms into Venable's quote-unquote office, which is just kind of, first of all, she's at a desk, and, like, there's nothing on the desk besides, like, a purple orb made of marble, perhaps, and then a MacBook Pro. I thought she quit that job and was now in charge of, like, the outposts or whatever. It kind of seems like she's still a secretary.
For hookers for you anymore. And right. Then the first thing she says when Myrtle shows up is, you don't have a package. What are you doing here? So it, like, sounds like you are still the person who orders their, like, cocaine and hookers.
Yeah. And their buffalo wings. We see in a few minutes. Buffalo wings, very important.
Right. Good point. Can't forget the B-dubs. Yeah.
Real shitty looking B-dubs. Yeah, so I guess we're just going to have to pretend that we know why the witches, because it's not just going to be this scene. Just moving forward, assume the witches know all of the information that Michael is doing. And I think what has happened, and I said this in our group chat, I think what has happened almost certainly is that the writers of the show forgot that the women that we're watching right now in the flashback don't know the information that the women in the first three episodes know, because it's a flashback and it hasn't happened yet. And I think they forgot that because they wrote this wrote this season in the most fuck-ass order that they possibly could have. I think they just genuinely forgot that these characters don't know the end result of what happens or how they got there, because they have not lived it yet. It has not happened yet.
That's a fucking mistake, like, to make. You know what I mean? Like, of all the things.
Yeah.
Like, the causality and events of the order of events of my own goddamn writing. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's like one thing if, like, a light switch is in the wrong position and, like, from one cut to another, that happens. It's another thing that if you, like, try to, like, write down what you're doing on a piece of paper, it, like, just doesn't work at all, I think. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's one thing if you're doing it on purpose, like Primer or something, where it's like, yeah, it's, like, intentionally quite hard to follow.
Right.
But, like, this isn't that. This is just, like, bad writing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is, like, Primer at least also gave you that confidence, like, wow, I'm really impressed that they kept this all straight. You know, fuck it. Zero Time Dilemma, which is, they handled this part a lot better. Like, there's stuff I complain about for sure about that story. But, like, at least, like, okay, they understood the order of confusing events, but this is just, like, not, like, you made it confusing. Like, you just put
you
them out of order.
You control the buttons you press.
Yeah, like actually, now that I'm thinking about it, like why are we even going to Primer? There's no time travel to like one part near the end. But even now, it's just like no, this is just a flashback. Like I just forgot what I was flashing forward to.
Yeah,
which, that's crazy.
That's the thing is like it feels like they're trying to do a time travel plot, roughly yeah. until they do a time travel plot, and then they way oversimplify it and don't ask any interesting questions.
Yeah,
they're just like we do cool. it and it's done and it's we did it. And it did not affect anything negatively. Everything is normal. Don't watch any other media about time travel.
Primer with like no time travel, just confusing.
Yeah, because you guys might be listening to this and thinking, oh, well, there's going to be time travel fuckery afoot. We know that from the last episode. So like maybe someone later in the episode comes back and warns these people and that's how they know. No, wrong. Get rid of that idea. Yeah. That is not what happens. Nope. It's not even mentioned or alluded to. You just need to know that these characters know the intimate details of Michael's plan, which, by the way, in case you've forgotten, the last like I don't know five episodes have all been trying to get intel about Michael and Michael's plan and have failed, except for they like know he was born at Murder House or whatever,
and that he can like light someone on fire yeah. with his mind but like also their soul.
He can yeah. kill a ghost. Like that's pretty much the extent of it, is they know he can kill a ghost and that he hates witches. Right. Like that's it.
And that, like, when he goes to hell, he's like, what's good, boys? And everyone turns their head back and goes, oh, blah, blah, blah. And, like, that's it? That's all we know?
Yeah, they do a funny little tone. It's pretty good. yeah, that will be relevant at the end of the episode also for some reason. Yeah, no, you just have to all wholesale accept what we had to accept, which is, no, the witches now intimately know every single finite detail of Michael's plan and have made a counter plan that does not at all, and I'm not joking, this is not me being hyperbolic, a plan that does not even a little bit or slightly involve trying to stop him from doing his plan.
Also, Liz, as our like foremost historian here, I totally lost my place. Would there have been a point where Bubbles had ever interacted with Michael? Because I don't think she did, right?
Because no.
Like, when she showed up, he was off in the woods farting around. And then, like, the next time they possibly interacted is when Meatbot shot her.
Yeah.
So, like, there was no time for Bubbles to have pulled the information out of Michael, right?
No, in fact, that was one of the failed attempts at trying to get information, was Bubbles and Myrtle going into the Warlock school hoping to get information about Michael from
and
Michael.
And just learning that the Warlocks fucking hate them, yes. which they already knew.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But she never interacts with Michael. And by the way, the Warlocks would not have known anything about the plan, period, because he has not come up with a plan at that point. He
right, yeah.
simply is trying to kill the witches for some reason.
God, I'm trying to help the writers so bad. They fucked up so bad.
There just isn't. Yeah. There just is not an answer. The answer,
there's
like,
no saving this.
There's sometimes yeah. where I can be like, okay, well, they thought like this. Like, it's not like the thing with Coco. Like, okay, yeah. well, they could say, I guess, doing the jerk off motion with my hand, that, oh, Coco can sense danger, and that's how they knew to go find Mutt and Jeff, or like where to find them. But
sure.
like, the knowing the information exclusively has to be literally they forgot these characters wouldn't know this information yet.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's not a thing you can paper over easily, you know, because it is just like, wait, these are just out and out fucking plot holes.
It's kind of like the thing is, like, we're harping on it a lot, but it's kind of like a huge plot hole, because like I said, we just spent 6 episodes of a, 10-episode season fucking around trying to get info, and then, like, they just kind of yada yada, oh, we have all of the information now, and, like, do not even attempt to explain it. And then the episode moves so quickly that you don't really have time to be like, wait, can we please explain how the witches know this? Because, like, that was the whole crux of the last 6 episodes. Can we please explain it? No.
You know what's crazy, though, too? They didn't run out of time, right? Because I think season 3 was 16 episodes. This one's only 10. So, mm-hmm. like, they really didn't, like, and they farted around with, like, Michael's backstory for, like, 2 episodes. But, like, so it's not like, oh, well, we couldn't fit it in or we had to cut it for time. It just seems like, yeah, we didn't know, so we didn't bother.
There's a whole episode dedicated to Michael fucking around in the woods and then meeting these two chuckle fucks and getting a robot. Like, that does nothing, essentially, for the plot, really.
Absolutely, but...
Yeah, you know. But somehow the witches know not only Michael's plan, but they know where Mud and Jeff are, and they know that the Illuminati exist in the co-op or whatever. Which does open a lot of plot holes about their plan, because like I said, the plan that they're concocting now based on all this information, and in case you're wondering if a time skip has happened, it has not. I know, because of stuff that will happen later. This all takes place over the course of, at best, 72 hours. Literally none of that matters, and the plan they make is not to stop Michael for some reason, because that has also been the plan up until now, is, hey, we need to stop the apocalypse. They have, I guess, figured out his plan and gone, well, we're not going to try and shoot Michael with a gun or anything, even though we can identify.
It's so confusing. Yeah, like, they forgot that the nukes hadn't happened yet, despite it being, like, a scene where it's not in a bunker and there aren't nukes, right? Like, they just are like, oh, well, the nukes already happened and it's unstoppable. Like, these characters don't know that it are, like... They don't know it's inevitable, right? There's only theoretically one character who would know it's inevitable, and that's the one who time travels, and she clearly has not, because she has not time traveled yet.
Right, she can't time travel, even though she did before with, like, the deer and Coco choking, you know? That doesn't count, because it's, I guess, very short or something, you know? But so now the only reason we can't stop anything is because she hasn't learned how to time travel for real. Although she did travel back to see Princess Anastasia, but I guess she couldn't change things. I don't know.
That is
know.
Still our plan, though. To be clear, the time travel, still extremely important to the plan. It's not going to be to stop Michael from dropping the nukes. It's just going to be important to the plan afterwards. We're not going to try and stop the actual apocalypse.
Here's the plan is they're going to control Z the apocalypse. That is the actual, like, fucking plot of, like, that they're trying to accomplish. Is, like, just, yeah.
So here's the thing too, right? And like, this is very much cart before the horse, but like, alas, poor Yorick, who gives a shit. If the plan is for Cordelia to like die and enable, you know, time travel powers as fast as possible, why do we need the nukes to happen? why do we do the nukes first? Why
Cordelia just likes it. Cordelia just wanted the nukes to happen. She wanted to see what it would be like.
That's what, like, no, yeah, and that makes no sense either, because you can't even say, like, she wants to live, because she, like, kind of offers it up, right? And Myrtle's the one, like, no, it can't be, you know, as such, but...
God, Myrtle's useless. She says, remember... They're gonna keep stroking Myrtle.
Remember, the last thing Myrtle said about this, when Cordelia's like, oh, we need to do the sacred taking so Mallory can be stronger, Myrtle goes, no, we just need to stall. Bitch, what the fuck are you talking about? What part of this plan is stalling? What part of this plan is stalling?
She means because they only had 8 episodes written.
True. So that was just an ad lib by the actress that wasn't even like part of the dialogue of the character.
It's actually like notes Ryan Murphy wrote to Brad Falchuk in the script writing room. And then she like read them like, ah, good enough, whatever.
I wonder if that's what happened. Like, they hadn't written an ending yet, and they're like, the studio was like, you only get 10 episodes. And they were like, oh, fuck. Uh-oh. We haven't written an ending for this. We have to stall. But going back to Facebook Incorporated, or wherever the fuck they are, Myrtle and Venable are having, like, a little, like, tit-for-tat, where, like, Myrtle is being dramatic and catty, and Venable is being dramatic and catty, and then finally, after, like, 10 to 15 seconds of Myrtle being like, can you take me to Mutt and Jeff? Can you take me to Mutt and Jeff? I need to talk to Mutt and Jeff. Venable's like, how the fuck did you get up here? And she's like, oh, I did a spell like this. And then she mind controls Miss Venable to get her key card. And I'm like, why did you ask her to take you to Mutt and Jeff if you could just mind control her? Why did we spend 35 seconds having this conversation?
It's because then on the way past, as she takes the card, she leans over because Venable is dressed all in purple right now. And she leans over and goes, a purple's for royalty, dear, not middle management. And then walks past. But like, That doesn't matter. Like, she is the boss at the bunker. Like, she can just wear purple. I don't, like, who gives a shit? Myrtle's wrong. Like, she's the queen. I don't understand what the problem is.
Also, Myrtle doesn't even, like, know that Venable's, like, in charge of the bunker. So, like, she's
or
just
has,
shitting
like,
on...
a complex.
Yeah, yeah. She's just shitting on this lady's clothes for, like, no reason. She's just like, you don't deserve to wear purple, question mark, which is, like, an insane stance to take on a random person's clothing.
I would almost go as far as to say if one character hadn't, like, literally ended all of planet Earth with nukes, Myrtle is, like, such a piece of shit this season. Like, Myrtle does so many terrible things and just, like, passively says awful shit to people that sends them on, like, spirals into doing the worst things imaginable. Like, Myrtle is the worst, and Cordelia reviving her is, like, another strike against Cordelia's judgment. Like, Cordelia fucked up so bad she went and revived the worst person. She would have been better reviving her fucking mom.
Like, honestly, it's
so bad.
Yeah, actually
kind of crazy, because, like, if you think about it, if this was a smarter show with better writing, like, you could maybe read into that character and be like, well, she wasn't shitty, well, like, she was weird, but she wasn't, like, shitty in season three, so, like, perhaps maybe she's actually quite tilted that for the second time she has been revived against her wishes by Cordelia and company, and perhaps she is acting out because she's fucking mad that her wishes to, like, have a witch DNR have not been respected twice in a row.
Honestly, you know what would have been better writing is bringing back Fiona to try to save the world, even though you don't like her. You know what I mean? And, like, it would have been better character.
Then you would have had an anti-hero who they had to work with, who could have had, like, selfish ulterior motives, you know. Like,
Fiona
Dinah
would solve it so fast, though. She would just fuck a jazz ghost and tell the jazz ghost to kill him, and it would work.
It really would, yeah. That's the problem, is she would, like, we'd be done in two episodes, really, if Fiona were, like, but
But now Myrtle's in the room with Mutt and Jeff, who are, well, she's not quite in the room yet. She's en route, because all she needed to do was mind control Miss Venable. That's the only time they use the mind control spell, which I feel is a pretty important spell in general, that probably could have avoided a lot of situations prior to this. But they use it specifically for Myrtle to be able to talk to Mutt and Jeff in this scene. Insane. They will never use it again, really. And Mutt and Jeff are putzing around in their shitty little control room with the jerk-off robots everywhere. And they're, like, looking at the lists of the people that are in the outposts. And Jeff's like, wait, we're in this outpost with the smart, nerdy people? Why aren't we in the outpost that's in the Bahamas with Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson and Charlize Theron? And I'm like, I thought, like, 100 people were in the bunker, and they were all the billionaires from the Illuminati. Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson are not billionaires. I don't think they would be in the bunker. Are they hot and rich? Sure. I don't think they're in the bunker. Like, I don't think they've got that kind of funding.
Probably you could make robots of them or something. It would just solve it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, my thing is, fucking bring them to your outpost. Like, just bring people, because they're like, oh, we only have this many, like, this much space. I'm like, why? Just you're in the planning stages. Just make more space and bring more food. What the fuck are you talking about?
And you're causing it, right? So it's just like, okay, we'll just wait another 5 years till we have it. Like, it's, or whatever.
Also, like, they don't need more holes poked in their plan, but they do explicitly say, like, oh, I thought it'd be, like, a good idea to have all the smartest people together. And it's like, no, dude, everyone who knows the Coke formula can't be on the same plane. What are you talking about? Like, we gotta split you up, bro. Like, no, ain't no way. We gotta split up the smart folks. So, like, if one of the bunkers go down, it's not just like Scarlett Johansson being like, damn, I'm pretty attractive, I don't know how to build a refrigerator.
Also, to be clear, they are referring to themselves as, like, two of the brightest minds, and I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I think they're pretty pretty lukewarm in the intelligence department.
Listen, I've never made one, and I would cop to it if I did, but I feel like jerk off robot hand is not that hard an engineering challenge.
Oh, no. Like, that's something someone would do in their garage, like, for fun.
I think the big thing would be, like, the boldness to test.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like a big barrier.
To bravely go where no one else has gone before. Yeah.
1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. Right, yeah.
That's right.
It's 10% luck, 50% skill, 100% concentrated power of will, or whatever that song said. Yeah.
Yeah. Ready to risk it all?
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're yapping about being mad about where they're ending up. And I'm like, my brother in Christ, it's your outpost. So you can just not. You can just do whatever you want. You don't have to do that. Anyway, a lot of people in power here being like, wow, I hate this part. I hate that we all have to do this at some point about something that they have complete control over and can easily influence the outcome of and can just change. And then Mutt's like, oh, by the way, Langdon wants Meadbot at Outpost 3. And I'm like, one, why does Meadbot count as a person? It doesn't make any sense that she counts as a person. So she should not be counted in the tally.
She doesn't eat
cubes. Yeah. And two, that's like Langdon's outpost. Why would it not make sense that he would want the robot there? Also, like, why would he have to ask? Is Meadbot not just, like, with him all the time? Like, why does he have to be like, and let me take my robot mom to my outpost that I'm not actually at the beginning of the season, so it's confusing why my robot mom is there. Yeah, very confusing why Robot Meat is there, actually, because, like, Michael's not there. So, and they don't explain that. They're just like, Michael wants her to be there. and he'll be fucking around in the other outposts, I guess, until he wants to stop by. Because if you remember the first three episodes of the season, Michael doesn't, like, live at that outpost. He, like, shows up on, like, year two. So he just kind of, like, arbitrarily leaves Meadbot at the boys' school for kind of no reason. He didn't want to hang out with her, I guess. Because you can't say, oh, it's because he knows there's witches there, because he fucking doesn't.
Right.
Anyway,
the identity spell, remember?
Yeah. And then Mutt's like, also, by the way, he asked us to wipe her memory so that she doesn't remember he's the Antichrist. And I'm like, what purpose does that serve? Because it will not serve a plot point later. Like, yeah, like, literally, A, why would Michael ask that? And B, why are we having it in the show? It doesn't affect anything later on. Like, what does that mean?
I think it's almost like they were covering their own ass in terms of, like, okay, right, like, it's like, I forgot what we had her say, so rather than look it up, let's just make sure, you know, that way it won't
because there
be
was that moment of, like, when, after, like, everybody dies, he, like, has a heart-to-heart with Meadbot and is like, you're a robot version of my mom who died. And I'm like, well, why? But, like, that doesn't end up being important. Like, it doesn't end up being important later, so, like, why does it matter?
Isn't that the whole point of bringing her back in the first place, too, was that you missed her or he liked her? You know what I mean? So, like, why not just,
What has Michael been getting up to? Like, has he just been fucking around, like, outside? Did he go back to hell? Like, what? Because, spoiler alert, the apocalypse just happens. Like, that's the implication of the rest of this episode is, like, they don't stop shit. It just happens. And they just accepted it. Instead of, like, any of the flashbacks meaning shit or fuck, it doesn't. They don't stop it. And it just happens. And they're like, well, yes, there's nothing we can do, even though they didn't try anything.
Right.
But after being like, oh, he wants it so that she doesn't remember he's the Antichrist. By the way, I'm not the one who said that. That is specifically Jeff quoting.
Yeah.
Specifically Michael. I want to be super clear about that because some stuff is going to happen at the end of the episode that's going to make you go, wait a second. What? But Jeff's like, it's fine. He's like Satan's son or whatever. He's the big boy in charge. We got to do whatever he says. And I'm like, the whole last episode was you specifically not doing what he says and being like, no, no, we're not going to fight the witches. We're going to drop nukes via Meadbot. So it's kind of weird that now you're like, we got to do whatever he says. Like, my hands are tied. We have to do whatever the big boy says. And now Myrtle's in the room. Yippee, Myrtle's in the room. And just like me, whenever Myrtle enters the room, the boys get scared. And Mutt pulls a gun on Myrtle, which appears to be the empty gun from the hand job / Russian roulette robot that is always near them and doesn't have bullets in it. And then she just chants some Latin at him. And then that's when I realized, I'm like, wow, we're doing a lot of Latin chanting this episode. And they're going to do so much more. Yeah, they're going to do it so much this episode. Everyone's going to start chanting in Latin every time they cast a spell. And I'm like, that was a warlock thing? We don't really do that at the witch school. At Miss Robichaud's, we don't do that.
The one warlock doesn't do it later on. He just gestures with his hands and things happen. So, yeah, they just, like, fucked up and inverted it.
Yeah. I don't think a single spell gets really cast this episode without someone chanting in Latin. And I'm like, that really literally was, like, never a thing. The only time we ever saw anybody chanting in Latin is, like, when we were doing one of the big beefy spells, like the sacred taking or some shit. Like, unless it was a spell that had a name, like a special funny name, we don't say this. It's not like, it's not Dragon Ball. We don't say the name of the attack when we do it. We don't go like fireball when we do fireballs. It's very strange.
It'd be cooler if they did, I think.
It would, yeah. If, like, every time Madison used pyrokinesis, she was like, pyrokinesis! Like, yeah, that would be way cooler. Or if every time Queenie used pain transference, she was like, pain transference, and then, like, stabbed herself.
Anything, frankly, to zazz it up. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But then it would get really confusing because a lot of the names they've given to things just aren't that.
Yeah, that's the other problem, right? And the names they did make up are, like, not cool, like, Descension. Yeah, right. Like, they, wow, they don't know how to compose a slam dunk of a name at all. These fellas got zero marketing juice.
Not cooking even a little bit. And then she's like, I'm here because I need to know where Outpost 3 is. And I'm like, what? Why do you need to know where Outpost 3 is? How do you even know about Outpost 3?
Why would you know, A, about the outposts, B, which outpost you need to know about? How would you already know which outpost Michael Langdon is, but not know the location of the outpost, especially considering what the answer is?
Also, by the way, she gets this information from him, and then, like, she's going to be, like, at the end, she's going to be like, oh, by the way, Coco Vanderbilt's parents, she says his name, but I don't remember his name, Coco's dad, is going to buy 4 tickets for this bunker, and you're going to let them do it. And then Jeff's going to be like, but we don't have any space. And I'm like, you literally, you're the one in charge. Just make space. Just do it. Because I think what they're trying to say here with having Jeff be like, but we don't have any space, is like, oh, well, that's why they end up running out of food in the bunker. And I'm like, well, two things. One, was anybody supposed to survive long term? Like, or was the plan to always run out of food? Because that seems to be self-rectifying then, if that's the case. And then two, just send more food. Just send more food. I don't see why that was a problem. You're still in the planning phase. Just order more food. You have infinite money. Just order more food.
You're a billionaire. Yeah, you're a billionaire. Hit up DoorDash.
Yeah.
get some calorie mates, bro.
Tell like, Tom Cruise he can't be in one of the outposts. I don't know. Like, just you can find a workaround. It's fine. But anyway, so, like, she doesn't mind control them. She just kind of, like, when he pulls the gun, she just, like, puts them in, like, a force choke, I guess. And makes him put the gun down. But they're, like, fully lucid. They're not, like, being, like, mind-controlled. And so she gets the information from them because Jeff immediately folds under exactly zero pressure. And then, like, she's like, you're going to sell the tickets to Mr. Vanderbilt. I'm like, what if he hadn't bought the tickets? Because, like, it doesn't explain how they get her dad to buy tickets. It's just like, yep, he does it. And then later, I'm like, is there any universe where they don't just immediately go to Michael and say what just happened? Is there any universe where they don't just immediately notify Michael? Like, hey, also, a lady who could do magic just showed up and asked where you and your robot were going to be. Is that, like, cool? Is that good?
So, like, if you sent your daughter off to a school and she was, like, a little lacking in confidence, but, like, seemed like a nice enough lady, and then she came back and she was, like, an entirely different person who thought much higher of herself, but with, like, no reason or change in, like, what happened, and, like, had a servant that you allegedly hired who you've never met before.
Wouldn't she brought be, like, home with her from the school?
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, I didn't hire you. Hold on.
Where are your qualifications? Who is this lady? Yeah.
And actually, she doesn't even know she's a... Wait, this doesn't make work either, right? Because she doesn't know that she's a witch with the identity spell. Mm-hmm. But the parents surely would make mention, like, so how did witch school go, right?
Yep. No, remember, they're in China or something, according to episode like, one. They're in, like, China.
It's not like a day, time. Right? Like, isn't it like a little bit? Like, because she has to date Brock for like a month at least.
At least a
right?
month, I assume. Yeah. I'm being extremely generous and saying like a month, maybe.
But so then, like, how does that happen? All right.
Yeah. So, all but right. They don't immediately go rat Myrtle out to Michael and the other people in the co-op. They're like, well, that was weird. And then the only information she gets is, like, where the warlock school is. And I'm like, yeah, that's the only information you already knew because you've been there, like, seven times this season. Like, in the current timeline where, like, no time
you
travel
has happened.
You have
their ass on speed dial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know exactly where that is. Why wouldn't you expect that that's where Michael would set up his base of operations? It's not. He's not there for some reason. But, like, why wouldn't you think that that's where it would be? Yeah.
That is a good point. The one piece of information they get is wrong.
Yeah.
Michael isn't in Outpost 3 until, like, way later. Like, it happens to work out, but, like, that is incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, you're going to buy, or Coco's dad's going to buy the tickets. And they're like, we don't have any space. And she's like, figure it out. And I'm like, okay. Yippee. That's the opening sequence. Yippee. Now we're in the real episode. That was, and like, we talked about it for a really long time. It was a long sequence. It was like 10 to 12 minutes of a 46 minute long, counting credits, credits included, 46 minute long episode.
And finale, mind you.
Yep, finale.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
We spent 12 minutes
on
that.
This much time to get wrong information that doesn't matter, that no one cared about, that it doesn't make sense how they would be able to get it anyway.
And it doesn't change literally anything.
True.
Yeah.
Yay. But now we're back at the swamp because remember, they're at Misty's house in the swamp because their house got shot up and I guess they can't go back to it, question mark. I don't know why they can't go back to it, but because they seem to know where Michael's at or not at any given point in time now. So like just go back to your house. It's not like he burned it down. Just go back to your house. But they're at Misty's house. Misty's not there and she won't be there. But they're at Misty's house. And it opens with Coco going, 1,000 nuclear bombs. That's so many nuclear bombs. That's his plan? And I'm like, that is such a five-year-old's idea of how many nuclear bombs is needed to blow up, like, civilization-ass estimation of how many nuclear bombs is needed to blow up civilization. Yeah. Very funny that's like that's
like,
what
it
they
wouldn't
settled
be good.
On. Yeah,
no.
A bit overkill, I think. I think probably after the first like 100, and definitely after like the first like 300, we probably got it. Like we probably
I'm
got
sure
it.
Said, well, also like you know, because Mutt Nutter or whatever they were always talking about, we got to reset everything, and it's like yeah, but and I think we covered it. Just like but nuclear winter, like there's no reset for a lot of this.
Nukes aren't a reset. Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
they say they say 1,000 nuclear bombs here, and like they weren't like being hyperbolic. Like they're saying it like that's we know for certain it's going to be 1,000 nuclear bombs. They say it with like very like succinct certainty that we know this is what the plan is. In the episode where the bombs actually end up falling that we see in episode one, the news is like these six cities are getting hit by bombs. Goodbye. That seems like a lot less than 1,000 nuclear bombs. I feel like if I was doing the news and 1,000 nuclear bombs got launched at once, I'd be like, holy fucking shit, you guys aren't gonna fucking believe this. 1,000 nuclear bombs just got launched all at the exact same time. This shit's fucking crazy. GG, everybody. Like, yeah, it's 1,000 nuclear bombs. And Goku is, like, talking at the other witches, or, like, in spite of the other witches in the room while they're talking about Michael's plan that they magically know, no pun intended. And Coco's like, wow, it sucks. I had just found a found family and I finally found my place in the world. And now the world is ending. And I'm like, your place in the world is that you can count calories and see gluten and stuff. But I guess she really liked hanging out with the other witches. And then Myrtle's like, no, you're going to be, you're like super important. You are the next stage of the plan. And this is where Madison pipes up, because Madison's also there for some reason. And she's like, what? The calorie counter? That's what she calls her, is the calorie counter, is like the thing, our Hail Mary, like she's who's gonna fix this, which leads me to believe they did not use Coco for any intel, because I feel like you don't get referred to as the calorie counter if you figured out where the Antichrist is at all times and what his plan is. I feel like you've evolved from the calorie counter if you figure out what the apocalypse is.
She didn't even have to like go blind for it and like steal some other witches and warlocks' eyeballs or whatever. Like right, Cordelia could use a lesson, honestly.
And
Cordelia had to run around the house with like a bad blindfold on, being like, "Oh no," and like moaning for
and
months.
Yelling at people for moving furniture. Yeah, that was like a whole thing in season three. And Cordelia's like, no, obviously Coco's not going to do something useful. She's just rich, and we're going to use her to get into the bunker, the titular bunker, parentheses, where his robot is, question mark. Mallory is the super secret weapon, and that's how we're going to get her in there. And Myrtle's like, the only place you're going to be safe is right under Michael's nose. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Just to be clear, so the whole plan here and the whole thing we're setting up is so that Coco and Mallory get to exist and continue to exist after the bombs go off. So first things first, why do they need to wait until after the bombs go off? That's a great question, Mega Man. Okay, second question. How do all of the other witches make it in after the bombs drop and show up safe? And then why did they not simply keep Mallory and Coco with them? That's another great
That's
question.
That's the one. Yeah. Because, like, you know what? Okay, you'd be like, well, Mallory doesn't have her powers yet, which bullshit. She's had them until we've needed them now for this, right? And then it's like, well, we got to wait a little bit. And then exactly. It's like, you know, we got to get you spots on the bunker, even though we're going to have no problem at all with all the nukes and everything, which, like, they don't explain or do anything with. But
also, if it is because of the powers being broken thing, I know who I personally blame for being like, we need you to have a time travel test mission before you go back and like, kill a baby with a knife. What if we had you go back and try to stop a firing squad in a Russian basement? Like, are you crazy? What is wrong with you? Cordelia's so ass. It's insane.
Yeah, didn't like stop the shooting at our own school like the day before. Like, decided to go to 1918 or whatever and...
Yeah, wouldn't that have been
squad.
A fun tie-in if they're like, you're going to go back in time and actually keep Tate's ghost from being nasty, and then we can actually justify it in some way, shape, or form.
There you go.
I meant Riss Robichaud's, but that is a good point. Like, father like son, both of them ended up being school shooters. Good point. Very cool that they tied that in. Who could say whether that will be relevant later? Parentheses, Liz has... notes about this for a follow-up episode of our podcast. The only place you'll be safe is under Michael's nose means nothing and is for no one and also isn't true. And Madison immediately is like, I'm pretty sure he will know we were witches. And she's right, because like she means like he can like sniff out witches because of magic. I mean, when I say it, I mean it's because he's seen them with his eyes and knows what they look like. So, like, suppressing their magic doesn't really do anything. He would just be like, wait a second. Do I know you?
Cordelia, can I pull you aside real quick? Cordelia, hey, your last, like, 7 spells have not worked. Are we really trusting one of your spells on this? Is this what we're banking it on? Is one of your spells? I don't mean to be rude. I know you're the supreme or whatever, but, like, We gotta do the math at some point. We gotta come up with a different plan.
No, I'm not like my mother. Maybe I am. I can't remember which one it is. Yeah,
you're
not
like your mother. Your mother could cast a spell and finish it.
And your mother was an absolute fucking queen genius at making schemes. Like, schemes were kind of like her whole thing. She would have sewn this shit up immediately. She would have packed Michael's shit up immediately.
Yeah, she had four different irons in the fire, all just because she felt like being younger and having sex with more ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, what? This Langdon kid doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah. Fiona was like a piece of shit, but like, she at least was like on top of things. Like, she got shit done, usually, for better or worse. Cordelia, on the other hand, thinks she's like hot shit and has literally nothing to show for it. Quite literally nothing to show for it. In fact, by the time this episode is over, the best thing that Cordelia can contribute to society is by not existing, which is a hell of a message to send to an audience.
Is incredible, because there have been three separate points in this season where someone, Cordelia included, went, you know what, I should stop existing. That's probably the best thing I can do. And either Cordelia or someone else in the cast who I also don't like will show up and be like, no, Cordelia, we need you still. And it's like, no, you don't. What are you talking about? Let Poochie go to space. Shut up.
Send her to the ranch. Send her ass to the ranch. But Cordelia, in her infinite wisdom, is like, no, he won't know who you are, because we're going to wipe your memories about being witches so you don't know you have magic. And I'm like, I don't think that's how that works. I don't think if you don't know you have magic that other people can't tell you have magic. I don't think that's how magic works, because you guys explained that if you have a lot of testosterone, that means your magic don't work so good. So that means it is a physiological characteristic that you have. It does not matter if you are aware of it. I'm not aware of the estrogen in my body, but it's there. So, like, you can't just, like, pretend that you're not a witch. But then she looks at Coco and she's like, all right, it's imperative that once we wipe your memories, you are super mean to Mallory so that she never figures out she's a witch. And I'm like, what? Also, how is Coco supposed to remember this imperative when you're about to wipe her memory? Why are you giving her this directive? She's not gonna remember it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, like, and they even mentioned too, they're like, by the way, we modeled your new personality on Madison so that you're extra shitty, which, like, I'll be honest, I think if somebody told me that before they were claiming they were going to rewrite my personality, I'd be like, wait, no. Like, make me not. I don't want to be a piece of shit. What? No, come on.
Yeah, because Coco is, like, rich and famous, but, like, she's, like, Coco, parentheses, real, is, like, not shitty. She's just, like, dumb, but she's, like, not shitty. Like, Coco is, like, pretty chill, actually.
Kind of nice,
She's embarrassed that she's not, like, doing big stuff and making big moves and is super successful because she's part of a family that is, or whatever. But, like, yeah, she's, like,
she's a cringe fail daughter. She's just a cringe fail lady.
Yeah, and, like, she knows her powers aren't that impressive. Everyone else is having to, like, gas her up on her powers. She's the one who's like, God, my power fucking sucks and is lame and is garbage. And everyone else is like, come on, Coco, cheer up.
Not that,
like,
bad, so, but it is. Yeah.
I would extremely, if I was Coco and they would be like, you're going to be a big piece of shit, I'd be like, I don't want that. They'd be like, you're going to pour a glass of water on every steak before you eat it. They'd be like, no.
Swap on them steaks, says Cordelia before wiping their minds. Yeah. And then, like, and then Coco's like, oh, okay. So you're going to, like, wipe our memories so we don't know we're witches. Can my family come to the bunker then, since we have, like, spaces for them? We bought four tickets for some reason that will never be explained why we bought four tickets. And then Cordelia's like, no. And Coco's like, what? But can't, why? And Cordelia's like, because they could jeopardize the mission. And she's like, can't you just, like, brain wipe them too? And Cordelia's like, don't want to. And then that's, like, the end of the conversation.
Oh, you know what? You know what else could have been in the conversation? Like, no, you idiot, we're rewinding time, they'll be fine, you know?
Yeah.
Which, like, to be fair to Coco, like, look, it's not, you know, she's not living in science fiction world or whatever. So I get that maybe she'd have problems with that. But, like, that does seem like an easy sort of explanation also, for Cordelia. Yeah.
Then Coco probably could be like, so why don't we do the time travel now?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. That
would be really funny to have Coco, of all people, be like, but hey, wait a second. Why don't we just do that now?
Mallory won't. Mallory's not ready yet. Okay, we spent a lot of her time juice on.
What's keeping Mallory from being ready?
Her hypothalamus. Well, they spent all her time juice
on Anastasia.
Her cortisol levels.
Cordelia's alive. Yeah, we should. Someone should do something about this Cordelia character.
Her hippocampus or something is like too stressed out or something. I don't know. It would be really funny if Cordelia just like pulled Coco aside and was like, "Hey, be chill about this. I just want you to be mean to Mallory." that's why we're doing it now.
Also, I think it's very funny that Fiona's like whole arc in the season was that she was unwilling to relinquish being the Supreme to the point that she was like willing to hunt and kill other witches who were prospective Supremes to try and buy herself more time. And this was like her main antagonistic drive, and it was shown repeatedly to be like, this is a vice. It is a bad thing to not be willing to let go when you need to let go. And then this is being played as this like triumphant survival of like, we'll find a way. And like really even having a moment of being like, huh, you know what? I think I'm doing shit like my mom. I should probably let her do the sacred taking. And then Myrtle lunges in from off screen and goes, no. And it's like, what do you mean no? Like she was right. Let her
yeah. go. Myrtle, you were the one who set up the sacred taking for Fiona. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. And then Mallory is like, well, when we're like brain wiped, are we going to remember you guys? And Cordelia's like, not until I take the spell away. And then Madison pipes up and is like, but at that point we'll be dead, which isn't true. And isn't part of the plan. They won't be. Spoiler alert. They won't be.
It would make more sense if they were. And then the two witches had to like realize they were witches on their own under the watchful eye of the co-op or whatever.
Which was kind
of
happening.
But that would be like a more interesting, different show.
I'll remind
you.
Yeah,
it starts.
Yeah, that happens.
It does start to happen. And then Cordelia shows up and is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This story isn't about me. Yeah. Hold on.
Randomly, Miss Venable gets like a bee in her bonnet and is like, I'm going to poison everybody. And then Cordelia's like, yes, that means I get to be involved in this now. Which I don't know what would have happened if Venable didn't do that, because there is no universe in which Venable poisoning everyone with apples is a part of Cordelia's plan. She is not Doctor Strange. She did not see 17 million futures or whatever. There is zero chance that Cordelia expected a crazy lady with a complex and scoliosis to poison everyone with apples. There is absolutely no way that that was part of the plan. Anyway, Coco is like, we get an emotional scene. There's a lot of these where Coco is like crying and apologizing to Mallory, and she's like, you're my best friend and I'm so sorry that I have to be like mean to you. And I'm like, we're really dumping a lot of our emotion tokens into this scene and making it like really sad like, for Coco.
Also, the whole like suppressing that she finds out she's a witch by being mean, can't you just like have part of the personality spell be like, and she would never think she's a witch?
Yeah.
Like she wouldn't believe it at all. Like if you held a gun to her head and said, do a fireball, she would go, nice try, Dorco, I believe in science.
Also, like, something like not for nothing. That only actually comes up one time, and that's after Mallory's already like kind of done a little bit of magic to like startle off Michael, and that's when Coco's like, you can't do magic, idiot. And I'm like, well, at this point we've kind of already blown our cover, because she's already done it. So like, being mean clearly wasn't doing anything, because she did still do the magic in the bunker. So it literally didn't do anything. It did not accomplish anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking out of my ass here. Typically in a lot of media where there is a character who is kind of low self-esteem and like doesn't believe in themselves, has a lot of people being mean to them or bullying them, it's usually those negative things that happen to them that makes them find out they have powers. Like, you know, Carrie, for example. It's usually the bullying that incites, or like Elfin Lead, it's the bullying that kind of incites the incident, not vice versa.
Dragon Ball. And Goku sees his friend get exploded, and that makes him so fucking mad that he does a thing. Yeah. Like, they're, yeah.
Usually happy people don't just randomly or be like, well, I wonder if I'm a witch. Like, I wonder if I can do magic. Unless you're Chris Angel or David Blaine.
Yeah. Right. They're like fishing or like playing basketball. Yeah. Also, I think David Blaine was pretty chill. Chris Angel, though, that guy was miserable.
Yeah. <That's the whole thing>. Yeah. And so Cordelia blows glitter in their eyes and then says some stuff in Latin. And then it does not immediately make them, I guess, lose their minds. Because there's like 30 seconds of them just kind of nodding as Cordelia says stuff in Latin. And then like at the very end, like Coco like tucks her hair behind her ear and like rolls her eyes. And that's how you know that they're the new version of themselves. And then it immediately will cut to the next scene, which we'll have to get to in our next episode of the podcast. But I want to point out, if they wake up right then from the spell, if there has to be a scene we don't get to see where they're both like, are we in a fucking swamp hut in Louisiana?
Yeah. Also, like, I will say, this cut is so annoying to me personally, that the one going into the next scene, because they are very intentionally trying to like do it as like a jump scare cut, and it's just, it's annoying because it's not like scary, it's just like, this is the next scene, but they have it go from being like as quiet as possible to just like horns and somebody yelling in like a loud traffic street or whatever, and it's like, come on, man. I'm like 30 or 40 years old. I don't need this.
They're just spiking your cortisol. They're just spiking your cortisol for no reason.
Yeah, they're just trying to stress me out. And I'm like, come on, you earned that. you gotta do a little something cool to stress me out. Not just be like,
honk.
Yeah. Like, it's literally just like, what if a car horn went off by you? Would that be scary? And I'd be like, yeah, I little. Guess. Like, it'd be loud, and I'd be worried there's a car.
I'd be like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
We have so much episode. Like, this was the more, even as stupid as this part was, where like they magically have all this information they shouldn't have and they come up with this fuck ass plan, this is somehow the least egregious part of the whole episode. There is literally no way that you guys can predict what what is going to happen. It's gonna be a lot.
It is a lot. It's maddening. Yeah. So you two have been like keeping everything from me very well, and I gotta say thank you, because I did laugh harder than I think I've laughed in like a long time when I watched this episode. So like, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I did immediately also go, oh, that's why they couldn't tell me anything, because that's unbelievable. That's incredible. Like, you just have to witness that. And like, It's funny because it's so close to being something that reminds me of, like, so there's this movie Wizards where one of them pulls a gun on the other one at the end and is like, here's the spell I know. And it, oh God, okay, I won't say anymore. I don't want to spoil too much of this beautiful fucking ending.
It's a lot.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I don't. It's the kind of ending that would make the internet the angriest imaginable. Like, it's an ending like designed to piss people off. It's amazing.
It really is.
So
it's so bad.
Whew. Till next time for part two of Apocalypse Then. And I guess that will be our episode Apocalypse When. I wish. Oh, brother, we've only got a couple. We only have like 2/3 of an episode left, and we're not in the apocalypse yet. Jesus Christ. Well, till next time, folks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.